Okay, Rebosai.
We are, we're up to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. 8 lines from the bottom. Ba'i. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. 8 lines from the bottom. Daf Chafam Beis. Welcome everyone. Good to see everyone back after the Ben Azmanim. I hope that soon enough we'll be able to see everyone in person. The Gemara says Chafam Beis. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Hayu mechzakim betavla shehi shala. If it was known that a certain what they write on a tablet. It was known that a certain tablet is hers. V'get kasav aleha v'hari yotza mitachas yado. Okay, there are different gersos here. It's probably not a big difference. And now it is in his hands. And he obviously gives it to her for a get. We have here a psychological suffix. The halacha is taken as a davar pashut. Halachically, it's only valid, and we discussed this in the last man, why that is. We saw the machlok, famous machlok, in the Ktsos and Rav Chaim, the Rav bring down Rav Chaim. But one thing is very clear, right? What did we say? If she owns the get and he gives her a get she already owns, that's not valid. That's the halachic assumption of our sugya. We have here then a psychological question. The psychological question is, she used to own this tablet. Then she gave it to him, he gave it back to her. Do we say that she gave it to him as a complete matana, and it was his, and then he gave it to her and it was a valid get? Or do we say that she just lent it to him, and he gave it back because she didn't know this halachic sophistication of making it a matana? She just lent it to him, and then he gave it back to her, and it was not a valid get. So Amar Abaye Tashma, Afu Heyed Al Kfar Katan Shahaya B'tzad Yerushalayim V'hayu Bozokin Echad V'hayu Mal V'chol B'nei Akfar V'kosev K'sav Yadu V'achirim Chosmin U'bam Maisel F'nei Chachamim V'chshiruhu. There was a certain small village where Lechora there's only one guy who knew how to write. At least one guy who knew how to write more than his name. There were apparently a few other guys who knew how to sign their names. So there's one old person who knew how to write, one Zokin who knew how to write, and he was also very rich. I guess if you know how to write, then you do well in business. It helps to be literate. So he would lend everyone in town, and when he lent them, they're supposed to write him an IOU. Right? They're supposed to write, I owe the Zaken 1,000 shekel. But they didn't know how to write, and there was no other silver in town, so he wrote it for them. He gave it to them. They had witnesses sign it, and they gave it back to him. V'amai, haba inin sefer makne ve'leka, right? The Pasuk says in Sefer Yirmiyah, in the Haftorah of Behar, when Yirmiyah buys the field from Hanamel, his uncle or cousin or whatever exactly he was, that there was a sefer mikna, a shtar kinyan, right? Karka is nicknamed b'shtar. There was some sort of shtar kinyan. Vaba'in on sefer mikna, sefer makna, it could be we're reading it as makna, but it doesn't really matter. Mikna, makna, both imply not sefer kinyan, meaning the sefer of acquiring, but sefer mikna or makna, the sefer of giving something to someone, right? So the shtar has to be a sefer makna vileka. What's the problem? The problem is it was not owned by the people who were supposed to give him the shtar. But it must be, what do we say, that psychologically we have the right to make the assumption that he knew to give them the shtar as a matana gemura, and then they could give him back the shtar as a matana gemura, and it would be a valid shtar. So just like he knew, again, the cases are similar, right? As Tosus points out, the question isn't whether people know how to give him a ton of gemura. Everyone knows how to give him a ton of gemura, right? If it's your birthday and I give you a birthday present, I clearly give it as a ton of gemura. If I have a stall in the shuk and I sell spices, I clearly give the spices to my customers as a matana gemura. The question is whether people are halachically sophisticated enough to understand that when I give you something that you're going to give right back to me, I still have to give it to you as a matana gemura. Over here, the woman has to give the husband the tablet and then he gives it back to her. And over here, the zaken has to write and then give the borrower the shtar, and then the borrower gives it right back to him. So, do we assume people are luckily sophisticated enough to know to give matana gemura even though it's going right back to them? The answer is, we see yes, because otherwise the shtar would be invalid. And so just like the zaken knew to give them the shtar, likewise the isha knows to give the tavla to the husband as a matana gemura. Amar Rava, umay kosha. No, what's your kasha? Meaning, what's your proof from here? Dilma, zaken shiny, diyada leknuya. Maybe that's only because he's a zaken, right? A zaken doesn't just mean an old person. A zaken means clearly he wasn't just any old person. He was the most literate guy in town, right? A zaken is someone who had a lot of knowledge. So yes, someone who has a lot of knowledge knows about Matana Gemura. But that doesn't mean that a regular person knows about Matana Gemura. Elama Rava Mehacha, no, from this case, Arif Ayotze Lachar Chitim Shtaros, Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorim, an Arif, a cosigner, right? The normal way to have a loan with a cosigner or a guarantor, right? Arif, in modern Hebrew, we also use Arif, and sometimes you need it to get a mortgage or something else. So the normal way to have an Arif is that it's written in the Shtar originally from the beginning. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000,000. Shimon now owes Reuven $1,000,000, and Levi is the Arev. And then the Edom sign. And that would be a regular Arevos. Here, he's Yotze La'achar Chitum Shtaros. Here, it already said Reuven lent Shimon $1,000,000. The Edom signed. And then Levi came and wrote under the Edom signatures, and I agree to be the Arev. So in that case, if Reuven collects from Shimon, he can collect from Nechasim Shabbatim. He is a Sheba Nechasim, he can be Torei from Lekuchos. But if Reuven collects from Levi, since Levi is under the Edom and not above the Edom, therefore it's not completely like a Milva Bishtar. And therefore, Reuven can only collect from Levi. If Shimon defaults, Reuven can only collect from Levi from his own property. He doesn't have a Sheba Nechasim, he can't be Torei Lekuchos. Okay. That's not such a big chiddush. In general, whenever you write a shtar handwritten without edim, so there's no shiva lekuch, there's no shiva nechassim. You can't be torn from lekuchos because the lekuchos don't know to beware of this because it's not notorious because there's no edim. The chiddush here is that Levi, what happened with Levi here. Let me get everyone right. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000,000. Now Reuven's holding the shtar that Shimon owes him money. What happens? Reuven gives the shtar to Levi. Levi writes on the Arev, and Levi gives the shtar back to Reuven. And Reuven is not a zaken here. He's not a special person. He's a regular person, right? Reuven might or might not even be literate. He might or might not be educated. And yet we assume that this is a valid shtar. How is this a valid shtar? It's a valid shtar because Reuven gave it as a matana gemura to Levi, and then Levi gave it back to him as a matana, right? Because every shtar is only valid if it belonged to the giver, who then gave it to the receiver. So here, the shtar belonged to Reuven to start with, because Shimon had already given him the shtar. He gives it to Levi, Levi gives it back to him, same exact case, and yet we assume he knows to give it as a matana gemura, so that proves, likewise, the Isha knows a matana gemura. Okay, he says that's also not a good proof. Maybe there's a difference between men and women. Men, at least in those days, were more educated than women. I think it could be that even nowadays, in Orthodox Judaism on the average, men understand sort of halachic sophistication. They've learned more Gemara than women. They understand all these technical things. Maybe it depends on your circles. But just because a man is halachically sophisticated enough to know to give something as matana gemura, that doesn't mean a woman is. So we still haven't posted our suffix. El amar vashi mihacha isha kosev says gita ve'ish kosev shovrosh enki maget ela bechosmav end of sugya. We can prove it from this Mishnah in Bava Basra that the woman is allowed to write her get, even though it says the man writes a get and gives it to the wife, but the woman is allowed to write the get on behalf of the man. And likewise, usually there were two, sometimes there would be two shtaros that were executed at the time of divorce. The man would write his wife and give her a get, and then he would also pay the ksuba money. So she would write and give her husband a receipt for the ksuba money, because he's not going to pay her the ksuba money without a receipt, at least in places where there was no written ksuba to rip up. So, even though the man's supposed to write the get, the woman could write it for him. Even though the woman's supposed to write the receipt, the man could write it for her. But over here we see the woman writes the get. L'chora, if the woman writes the get, that means the woman writes the get with her ink on her paper and she owns the get. Now it's exactly like the case we started with. The woman owns the get, yet she can give it to her husband and he'll give it back to her. And we assume she understands that she has to give it to him as a matana gemura, and that's poshut, our original suffix, that she knows she has to give it to him as a matana gemura. Okay, one technical issue that I want to deal with before we get into the lumdus of Sefer Makneh here, because this seems like a very technical sugya, meaning it's all about psychologically, do people understand a certain halachic sophistication or do they not? And the answer is, in the end, they do. Okay, bit seder. One question which Tosos brings up in Dibur Maskel, Isha Lo Yoda, Leknuye, is the relationship between this sugya. I mentioned this briefly on Daf Chaf Amin Aleph, but very briefly. The relationship between this sugya and the sugya on Daf Chaf Amin Aleph, because they seem to be about the same thing. Does the woman really give the husband ownership of the get or not? Over here, we're talking about when the woman actually owned the get. Muchzak mitavlo shi shalom. Or in Daf Chaf Amin Aleph, we're talking where the woman pays the sofer, right? But what do we say? It's the same problem. If the woman pays the sofer, then it's, according to most Rishonim understood it, it's her get, not his get. It was talking about Bailus on the get. Remember, we dealt with this at length. And we had the same problem. If the woman pays the sofer, it's her get. How is that valid? If the get belongs to her, it has to belong to him before he gives it. And the answer there was not that she knows Leknuye and she's halachically sophisticated, etc. The answer Daf Chaf Amin Aleph Rava said was, "V'dilma aknuye aknu le rabbanan," right? The solution there was that the rabbanan made a hefker bezin hefker and were took away this money from the woman and gave it to the husband so that he would only get. So Tosa says there is a stira. How come in Daf Chaf Amin Aleph we already solved the problem of how the husband owns the get before he gives it? The Rabbanan used Hefker Bezin Hefker to give it to him. And yet over here, we have a problem and we need her to know, it's like be sophisticated and have in mind to give it to him. Why not just use the same solution as Daf Chaf Amin Aleph, that the Rabbanan used Hefker Bezin Hefker? So here we have basically two answers, at least within the Havamina, right? At the beginning of the Sugya. The Havamin in the beginning of the sugya says Tosfos. In this, why? Use Hefker Bezden Hefker. Why do we need her to know something? Just use Hefker Bezden Hefker whether she knows or not. So Tosos says, because, says Tosos, give me a second. V'em tomer, Damrina le'el d'damik d'dmeik siva sofer aknuli rabbanan midida mikomakom tavli d'da lo maknula. The takan of Hefker Bezin Hefker was not for if she actually owned the paper of the get. That was only for the money for the sofer. The takan of the rabbanan was limited to the money she gave the sofer. It did not extend to the actual physical get. So that's what he says. He says the takana is limited to the schar of the sofer, and therefore, in Daf Chaf Amin Aleph, we're worried about who owns the money she paid the sofer. They made it to Takana Drabanan. But in Daf Chaf Amin Beis, they never made it to Takana Drabanan about the actual tablet. Why would this be? Tosos doesn't explain. You could just say stam. They made it to kind of drabbanan about one thing. That doesn't mean they made it about another thing. The Meir here explains a little more. He says, if you look in the Gemara in Bava Basra, they explain that really mida oraisa, the husband's obligated to pay the sofer. He's the one who has to do v'kasa la sefer krisos v'nasa biyada. Midrabbanan, they made a takana that the wife should pay the sofer because they wanted to help her. Because it might be a problem of aguna. If he's too cheap to pay the sofer, he might cause her to be an aguna. Therefore, they said she should pay the sofer to avoid being an aguna. So they made a takana that she should pay the sofer to help her. Then it makes sense. If the whole reason she's paying the sofer is because they made a takana to help her, then their takana has to help her. They also have to be metaking that through hefker bezin hefker, the money would belong to the husband and he would own the get. But because it's part of a takana they made to help her. But over here, if she owned a tablet and then gave it to him, the rabbanan didn't make any takana of anything. This is their own business. They planned this on their own. If they plan this on, basically, if someone messes up on their own, the rabbanan aren't going to come use hefker bezin hefker to fix everything. But on the Chafam and Aleph, when the Rabbanan set up the situation, obviously they have to use their Hefker Bezin Hefker power to make sure that it all works out and doesn't cause any halachic problems. So that's Tosa's answer. Tosa's answer is Hefker Bezin Hefker is limited to the money, and the Meiri explains, because they caused this problem by telling her to pay the money, so they obviously have to fix it. The Rashba gives a different suggestion. The Rashba gives that suggestion at first, but the Rashba, in his second answer, gives a different... Tosos and most Rishonim agree with this, Derech. But the Rashba, in his second answer, gives a different answer. And he just says, very technically, he says, we don't necessarily agree with Rava there. And even though... Rava is one of the people talking in this sugya, Rava doesn't necessarily agree with Rava there. Rava was just saying some sort of dilma. Rava said it belashon, on Daf Chaf and Aleph we have, Amar of Chiste, Yecholim of Solinu, etc. Amar Rava. Even though Rava said it there, Rava was only saying it to Rav Chista, and he was only saying it to Derech Dilma, he didn't necessarily mean it. So it could be that, that we don't hold like Rava on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and it could be even Rava doesn't hold like Rava on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Everyone can see my whiteboard, right?
Yes. Not,
okay, thank you. Anyway, okay, the question is now, what's the Maskana? What happens to the Maskana? So the Maskana, Tosos has the Maskana, very, very, very Pashut. What is the Maskana? Tosfos says, very, very pashut. The maskana is there are two solutions to the problem of the husband owning the get when it comes to the schar sofer. The solution is hefker bezdin, the takana. When it comes to the tavla, the solution is that yada le'aknuye, that in the end we decide a woman does understand she has to give it as a matana gemura. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba thinks there aren't two separate solutions. There's only one solution. As a matter of fact, the Rashba has a different interpretation of the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. When it says Ha'isha Kosevez Es Gita, he says that doesn't literally mean the woman writes the get. He says that means the woman pays the sofer, in which case it's the exact same case Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, so it obviously needs the same solution. So the Rashba has two deos. The Rashba, first dea, is that it is all a takana. By takana, I mean the same as hefker bezin hefker. And it's not yada liknuye. He actually says in the end, the Gemara's maskana is not that the woman knows liknuye. And the Gemara never explicitly says the woman knows to be makna the get as a matana gemura. That's just what everyone except for the Rashba assumed. Right, Tosos, by the way, I'll just put a Vechuli and other Rishon agree with Tosos. But the Rashba in his first day said, no, the Maskana is it's all because of Takana. The Tavla case is because of Takana. The paying the Sofer case is because of Takana. A woman doesn't know anything about Liknuye. It's all a Takana Drabbanan. And the Rabbanan made their Takana in all cases. Why did the Rabbanan make a Takana in all cases, even when they didn't create the problem? Because they want to avoid Mamzerus. So they always want to make Takanas to make sure that Gittin are valid. Meaning, whatever it gets seems to be valid, it's worth it for the Rabbanan to make it takana to really make it valid using hefker bezin hefker to avoid mamzerus. The Rashba's second answer is that adrabba, there's no takana. Because remember, he said we don't hold like Rava. He says even the Maskana, we don't hold like Rava, Nafchafam and Aleph. And even Rava didn't hold like Rava. He was just saying Dilma. It's all because Yada Le'ik Nuye. Okay, so we have three ways of reading the Maskana and the Gemara. How do we solve the problem of the husband owning the get? According to Tosin, most Rishonim, if the problem was the woman paid the sofer, the solution is the Rabbanim made a takana and gave him the, by the way, one big advantage of the Zoom shear, we can all put the temperature in a way that's comfortable for us. Takes a lot of tension out of the shear. But again, Tosa says, if the problem was that the woman paid the sofer, the solution is takana. If the problem is that the woman actually owned the piece of paper or the tablet, the solution is that she knew to give it to her husband. According to the first day of the Rashba, no matter what the problem was, they made a takana to always be makdin to get to the husband before he gives it back to her, before he gives it to her, so that it'll be valid. According to the second answer of the Rashba, there is never a takana, and a woman always knows whether she's paying the sofer or whether she's actually giving the husband her own tablet, she always knows to give it to the husband as a matana gemura. Okay, that's the end of the technical shaklavataria of the psychological sugya versus the takana. Now let's get into this question a little more, and I want to not get into the gittin aspects of the question, but to the dine mamonos aspects of the question, because in dine mamonos, the gemara here made an assumption. The assumption was called sefer mikna, or in the yeshivish welt, we say sefer makna. Sefer Makna, Sefer HaMakna. Again, I think it comes down to the same thing drasha-wise. What is this din of Sefer Makna? So first I want to point out, there is a machlokes. If you saw the Gilyonos Baruch Tam here, there is a machlokes achronim as to what this whole drasha of Sefer Makna means. Let me erase the board. What does this drush of Sefer Makna mean? Says the Ktsos. Where is the Ktsos? Sorry, let me just get a copy of the Ktsos up here. Sorry, give me half a second here. Sorry, give me a second here. Okay. Said the Ktsos. He says that it's in the course of a big discussion, which is interesting if anyone wanted to look at it. But he says that halovet tzorach lahaknos ashtar lamalve. That's clearly like in our Gemara, right? The borrower has to be. Vaday. The borrower has to be makne the shtar to the malve, meaning the makne has to be makne the shtar to the kone, because the malve is kona the shibudim. Etc. What is he saying here? He's saying an assumption that the way kinyan shtar works is that the makne has to give the shtar as a matana to the kone. And what does the baruch tam, say to him? The baruch tam is the imrei baruch. It's in the bottom of the regular shulchan aruch. This is the Gilyonos baruch tam on the Ktsos HaChoshen. He says, let me just find this part. Gam de remachar tzorch ian da after being a sefer makne ein rai she tzorcha makne hasado a shibud be sefer tzol yitzorch la haknos gam gufa sefer la kone. What's the machlokas here? Says the Ktsos, sefer ha makne means Let's forget the case of Lova here for a moment. Let's imagine we're talking about the case of Yirmiyah, right? Of Kinyan Shtar on a Sadeh. What does it mean? It means that the seller has to be makne the shtar to the buyer. For example, Hanamel had to be makne the shtar to Yirmiyah. So why did the shtar have to belong to the seller? It has to belong to the seller because he has to be makne it to the buyer. And the seller can only be makne the shtar to the buyer if it belongs to him. So our Gemara is saying it has to belong to the seller, right? Has to belong to the makne. Why does it have to belong to the makne? Says the Ktos, because he has to be makne the shtar to the koneh. So here, let's take this din called Sefer HaMakneh, or here we say Sefer Makneh, Sefer Mikneh, whatever it is. Says the Ktos, what does it mean? It means Sefer She Makneh Oso Ha Makneh Lekoneh. That's what it means. Sefer HaMakneh means it's a sefer that the Makneh is Makneh to the Koneh. For example, if I want to sell Charlie my house, I have to write a Sefer HaMakneh, right? I am selling my house to Charlie, and then I have to be Makneh the Shtar to Charlie. That's the way the Ksos reads this. What does the Baruch Tam say back to him? The Baruch Tam says back to the Ksos, says, Eino Mochrach. It's not true. It never says that. Again, if I'm selling my house to Charlie, it never says I have to be Makneh the Shtar to Charlie. I do not have to be Makneh the Shtar to Charlie necessarily. I may have to give him the Shtar, right? Reminds us of the parallel machlokas of the Ktos and the Reb Chaim and Gittin. But I don't have to be Makneh the Shtar to him. So what does the drasha of Sefer HaMakneh mean, according to the Baruch Tam? He says, Be'inan Sefer HaMakneh, in Raya Sheitzor Sha'amakneh Asada Wasibar B'Sefer Shalo Yitzorich Lahaknos Gam Gufa Sefer Lakoneh. It never says the Makneh has to be Makneh. I apologize for using Makneh as a verb and a noun. Hopefully we can follow. It never says the Makneh has to be Makneh the Shtar to the Koneh. It just says B'Sefer Shalo, that the Sefer has to belong to the Makneh. Meaning what the Baruch Tam says is, no, he says, Eino. Or let me say better, hold on. Oops. Oops, 1 second. Sorry. Ein HaMakneh Tzorech LeHaknos Es HaShtar LeKoneh. No, I don't have to give, I don't have to be Makneh. That doesn't mean Sefer HaMakneh, that you're Makneh the Sefer. Doesn't mean you're Makneh the Sefer. Rather, what does it mean? Sefer Shel meaning belongs to HaMakneh. The Sefer has to belong to the Makneh. So here, I think we have two different ways of understanding the drasha of Sefer Mikneh. Does it mean that you're Makneh the Sefer? Or no, it's telling you whose Sefer does it have to be. It has to be the Makneh Sefer. Okay, the Nafkamina is for all kinds of things that Ksos is discussing, which we're not really getting into, which is when I borrow money from you, do I have to be Makneh you the Shtar when I give you the IOU or not? Nafkamina is when the lender is holding the IOU, is he a Bailim or is he not a Bailim? Which then affects all kinds of questions. Can he sell that Shtar, etc., which is not our topic now. But here's the interesting Machlokas. What's the drusha of Sefer HaMakneh? It means a Sefer that you are Makneh or a Sefer of the Makneh? That seems to be the Machlokas, whether it is Sefer Shemakna Oso, or Sefer Shel Hamakne. I thought Rashi was meduyik like the Baruch Tam against the Ktzos. Because if you look in Rashi here, Dibur HaMaskel, the second class Rashi in Daf Chaf, Hachi or Dibur HaMaskel V'Habeina Sefer Mikne V'Leka, why does he say, She'amakne Tzorech Lichtov Es HaShtar. The Makne has to be the one to write the Shtar. Sodai Mechurlach. From here we see the Makne has to write the Shtar and not the Kone. He never says anything about being Makne the Shtar. He just says, who has to write the Shtar? The answer is the Makne has to write the Shtar. L'chora, Rashi means, since the Makne has to write the Shtar, it has to be his Shtar. Sefer HaMakne has to be Sefer Shel HaMakne, meaning he writes it and he owns it. So I thought Rashi was meduyak, like the Baruch Ta'am, that the Shtar has to be Shayach to the Makne. Because Rashi does not say anything about being Makne the Shtar. He just says the shtar has to belong to the person who's makne the field. What would be the svara of these two interpretations? I think the Tosafot would be saying that since the whole point of a shtar is to accomplish a kinyan, how does a shtar accomplish a kinyan? A shtar accomplishes a kinyan because when you're makne the shtar, that's also makne the other thing that you're trying to sell. Like, for example, the house. Right, if I write a shtar to Charlie saying, I'm selling you my house, since I'm makna Charlie the shtar, I'm also makna him the house. Right, the house goes along with the hakna'ah of the shtar. Maybe that's how the Ksos understands it. The Baruch Tam would say, no, I don't have to be makna him the shtar. I just have to give him the shtar. I don't have to be makna him the shtar, but the shtar has to belong to me. Why does the shtar have to belong to me? L'chora, and we'll come back to this in a moment, because if the point of the shtar is to represent my das hamischayev, remember we talked about das hamischayev in shtaros, that maybe the whole reason why a shtar is powerful is because it's representing my das, right? Mi pik savo. If the shtar is representing my das, it has to be my shtar in order to represent my das. If the shtar doesn't belong to me, then you can't really say it represents my das. Chaim, I can't actually read what you're showing me. What are you showing me, Chaim?
I have to reboot.
Okay.
Not working.
Okay, sorry.
Okay,
in any case, I think Chaim was trying to show us something, but we will have to wait for that. So I think that, the drush of Sefer Mikna, one thing is very clear. It's very clear that the pshat of our Gemara is the Sefer has to belong to the Makna. That's the whole point. It has to belong to the husband, it has to belong to the borrower, it has to belong to the Arev, right? It has to belong to the person giving something. But why? The Ktzos, so that it can be Makna the Shtar, and the Baruch Tam says, no, it just has to belong to him. In order to represent his Das Mischayiv, it has to belong to him. And the Ktzos says, no, he has to be Makna to someone. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that in a moment when we get to the most fascinating part of our sugya, which is the question of Tosos de Remaskel the Kosev Biksav Yado. So let us keep this in mind and go to Tosos de Remaskel the Kosev Biksav Yado. What's Tosis' issue here? Tosis' issue is, remember, all year long, we pointed out, there are two types of shtaros, shtar kinyan and shtar raya. There is a shtar that makes a kinyan, and there's a shtar that just serves as a proof to a pre-existing kinyan. So says Tosfos, hold on a second, the din of shtar mikna from Yirmiya is talking about a shtar kinyan. How do we know? Because the Gemara in Kiddushin says that this is the whole source of the whole makor of the din that karka nicknays bekesef shtar v'chazaka. I don't know karka's nicknays be shtar from Yirmiya. So Tosfos says, I understand in a shtar kinyan you need sefer makne, but a shtar raya doesn't need sefer makne. A shtar raya is just a proof. A proof doesn't need Sefer Makne, and here we go back to something we discussed in Shiur 10. Let me just put Tosa's question on the board. Tosa's question is, that, what are we using a raya? We're using a raya from the Zokain. That was a Shtar Chov, right? A Shtar Chov, meaning Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. No. Reuven lent Shimon $1 million, and therefore Shimon owes him money, right? Reuven lent Shimon 10,000 shekel, therefore Shimon owes him the money. Why does Shimon owe Reuven the money? Not because of the shtar, because he lent him. Shimon naturally owes Reuven the money, because naturally you have to repay your debts. What's the point of the shtar? The shtar is only serving as a proof of a pre-existing kenyan. So Tosus Kasha is that, he says, only a shtar kinyan needs this din of sefer mikna, not a shtar raya. That's the first part. And the second part of his question was that a shtar chov is a shtar raya. So hold on. If a shtar chov is a shtar raya, and a shtar raya is merely eidos. Eidos doesn't need sefer mikna. Only kinyan shtar needs sefer mikna. What's kinyan shtar? A get, which again is really its own track because it's isurin. But a get is creating a kinyan, right? It's making her divorced. A shtar of selling a field makes a kinyan. It's making the field or the house yours. Even the Arev's case is making a kinyan because it's making him owe money that he didn't owe previously. Levi didn't owe any money previously just because Reuven and Shimon had a loan. Now, when he signs this shtar, he owes money. So shtar kinyan is something that makes a new kinyan. But a shtar chov doesn't make any new kinyan. If I lent you $10,000, you naturally owe me $10,000. We only write a shtar to prove it. So, but if it's just a proof, that's eidos. And eidos doesn't need sefer mikna, because eidos has nothing to do with kinyanim. Eidos is just eidos. So, that is Tosfos' kasha. And, lest you, that is Tosfos' kasha. Okay, before we get to the answer that Tosfos implicitly rejected, basically, Tosfos and the Ramban and most Rishonim give technical answers to accept both of his premises and somehow get around the problem. What do they all say? Basically, what most of Rishonim say here is, you're right. A shtar chov doesn't need sefer mikna. Meaning, a shtar, it doesn't matter who owns a shtar chov. Because it's just eidos. Doesn't matter who owns eidos. Eidos doesn't make a difference who owns it. It doesn't matter who owns a shtar chov. Rather, it must be that this zaken wrote something besides a shtar chov. What would this zaken write, a shtar chov? So what are the three basic drachim? One is Tosfos and the Ramban. So what do Tosfos and the Ramban say? Tosfos, Ramban, and if you look, many Rishonim here take this derech. They say they accept both premises. They accept both premises and add an okimta. What's the okimta? The okimta is that he wrote some shtar kinyan besides the shtar chov. I know it only says he lent them, and when he lent them, that's merely a shtar chov, which is a shtar raya. But no, he must have also written something else, and it's that something else that he also wrote, which is obviously going to be a little dacha because it doesn't say that in the case. But it was sort of obvious to them that he also wrote other things which are shtar kinyan, and those other things had the requirement of sefer mikna, that they had to belong to the makna, either for the Ktosis reason or for the Bar Tam's reason. And therefore, there's a proof that Yada Leknuye. What did he write besides Shtar Chov? Here we have a bunch of different formulations. Specifically what? One answer is Tosfos and the Ramban Mechiras or Nesinas Karka. Besides the loans, he also bought or received land from people. He also bought land from people. When he bought land from people, that's mamish like the case in Yirmiyah of Sefer Mikneh, meaning forget about the loans. The loans are not the issue, says Tosos, but it's that they also sold him or gave him fields. If they sold him fields, then that's a shtar kinyan. It requires Sefer Mikneh that the shtar belonged to the other guys, and then they give it to the zaken to sell him the field. And therefore, it's a proof that Yadal Knuye, he knew to give it them as a Matana Gemura, so that they could give it back to them when it would be a Sefer Mikneh. But Mehechi Tesa, just because he lent them money, what did that have to do with selling him fields? So here, there's a whole bunch of different ways you won't put on the board. Tosa says, Mistama, since he did them the favor of lending him money, remember in those days, Ribbis was Usser. They hadn't yet invented the Heter Iska. So he lent the money interest-free. So because he was so nice and lent the money interest-free, they were kindly predisposed towards him, and they gave him small pieces of land as a matana sometimes. Obviously, he doesn't mean they gave him small pieces of land when he lent them the money. That would be ribbis. They mean on totally different occasions, just because in general they had a good relationship. Because he was so nice that he lent money, everyone else was nice to him and either gave him little pieces of land or sold him land at a nice price when he wanted it. And therefore, Mistam, if he lent the money, they also sold him land, but the real rye is from selling him land. The Ramban has two other possible formulations. Either he says, no, they sold him land when they couldn't pay back the debt. They borrowed 10,000 shekel from him. They didn't have cash to pay it back. So instead, they sold him the land to repay the debt. Okay, that's another possibility. Or the Ramban says, no, maybe Stam, they knew that if he wrote all the Shtari Chov, Mistama, he also bought land sometimes. Just Stam, even though it's not necessarily connected. Okay, but for some reason, either Stam, if he lent the money, he must have sometimes bought Sados, or he bought Sados because they wanted to give him the Sada to pay the debt, or because he was nice to lend money, they were nice and gave him and sold him Sados. Somehow they also bought Sados. The Ramban gives another possibility as well, says the Ramban. He says, no, maybe there is a different Shtar Kinyan besides the Shtar Chov, but not besides the Shtar Chov, enhancing the Shtar Chov. What was the enhancement to the Shtar Chov? He says, not a different, it's an enhancement. He says it is a... enhancement to the Shtar Chov. Normally, when I write a Shtar Chov, there's a Shibud Nechasim. On what kind of property is there a Shibud? We all know only on Karka there's a Shibud. What if I want to make a Shibud on Metaltalin? So there is no Shibud on Metaltalin as a general rule. But the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us there's one way to create a Shibud on Metaltalin. As a matter of fact, just for example, there's one way to create a Shibud on Metaltalin. If you ever go to a chasna and you listen when they read the ksuba says that all my nechasim will be meshubad to this chov of the ksuba, nechasim de et lohon achrayot, u nechasim de let lohon achrayot. Both karka, that's it lohon achrayot, and metaltalin. How can you make a shibra metaltalin? So the Gemara says there's one way to make a shibra metaltalin, that's called agav. Kenyan Agav. If I say I'm a Shabbat you my Karka, and Agav the Karka, I'm also a Shabbat you the Metaltalin. So therefore, one can create a new Shibud Metaltalin that's not an automatic result to the loan. One can create a new Shibud Metaltalin as just an extra Matana. When I borrow money from you, I owe you the money, and you get a Shibud on my Karka. But I'm giving you something extra. I'm giving you a Shibud on my Metaltalin. When I give you the Shibud on my Metaltalin, that's giving you something extra that didn't exist beforehand. That's not a Shtar Raya. Shtar Raya is proving what existed beforehand. That is a Shtar Kinyan. And therefore, that's where you go, Shibud of Metaltalin. Agav Karka, because the only way you can Meshavi Metaltalin is through Agav of Karka. Therefore, that's a Shtar Kinyan, because I'm giving you an extra Shibud that you don't naturally deserve. When I write your Shtar to give you something you didn't already deserve, that's called Shtar Kinyan. Shtar Raya is when I write your Shtar to prove something that already exists. And the Ramban has one other opinion. The Meiri also has all these opinions, and all the Rishonim have various combinations of these opinions. And he says that, and here he gets a little complicated, he refers to the idea of Ksiva Umasira. He says, there's also a bit of an enhancement. He says, you can actually be mishabed shtaros. What do we mean from this? Let's say the people wanted to borrow money from the zaken, and they wanted not just to give him a shibud on their karka. And we're not talking about taltalin. They had a bunch of IOUs. Let's say I'm one of the regular illiterate guys. I go to the Zuck and I say, I want to borrow money. He says, okay, what's the collateral? What's the shibud? I say, well, I have some land. He says, no, the land's not worth so much. Maybe I don't have land. Maybe I rent my apartment, etc. I say, you know what? I have these IOUs. Someone else owes me $1 million. I'll be mishabed these shtoros to you. I'll be mishabed this other debt to you as the collateral for this loan. How are you mishabed shtoros? The answer is, you can only be mishabed shtoros through ksiva u'misira. I have to hand him the shtaros, but handing him the shtaros is not enough to mishabe the shtaros. I also have to write in the loan document that you should be kone a shibud on all the shtaros. That's called ksiva mesira. I hand him over the shtaros and I write in the shtarchov an enhancement that not only do you have a shibud on my karka, you also have a shibud on my shtaros, meaning on money other people owe to me. So this is also an enhancement, not a separate shtar. And what does he say? He says, shibud shtaros. Right, okay, but the same basic idea, shibud metaltalin. I want to write an enhancement in the shtar to be meshabed something that's not naturally meshubed, and therefore that is a shtar kinyan. Okay, so this is basically, A is the technical way to answer Tosa's question. Tosa's made two assumptions. His assumption is that you only require ownership of the shtar if it's a shtar kinyan, if it's creating a new kinyan, not if it's just testifying to a pre-existing fact. B, a shtar chov doesn't create a new kinyan, because even without the shtar chov, I owe you the money and you have a shibud. So therefore, why did this shtar chov require ownership, which is why the Gemara used it as a proof? So technically, the shtar chov was not the proof. The proof was something else. Either he also bought fields from them, which is clearly a shtar kinyan, or they wrote enhancements in the shtar chov, which were kinyanim on new types of shibudim of either metaltalin or shtaros. Okay, that is, but this is all technical answers, accepting Tosa's premises. What is, of course, more attractive is to possibly deny Tosa's premises. How can you deny Tosa's premises? So someone tell me which Rishonim on the daf deny Tosus's premises, deny the premises of the question, or at least a premise of the question. Anyone?
Tosus Rid.
The Tosus Rid, exactly.
Tosus Rid.
Okay, does anyone want to add another Rishon? The Tosus Rid was easy, because he says it explicitly. Right, there's another Rishon who I'm sure denies one of Tosus's premises, but doesn't say it explicitly. Okay, let's take it one step at a time. Start with the Tosus Rid. So I'm going to have to erase this board. Hopefully try to remember premise one and premise two. The what happens here? So the second answer is the Rid. The Rid, he denies premise two. What does the Rid say? If you look in the Rid here, he's very explicit. He says, Toshma afu heid al kvar katan shay bishalayim v'hoya sham zakin echer v'hoya mavel chol b'nei kvar kosim k'sav yod v'achirim chosvin uba maisel of nech hachamim v'hichshiru v'amai ha'boy sefer makne v'leka perush boy shahalove yakne lo karka osav v'yishabdim lo b'sefer v'yimsur lo mal v'hasefer kosov v'leka. He says explicitly, what are they saying, boy sefer makne? They're explicitly answering Tosa's question. The Gemara is saying, don't think a shtar chov is just a shtar raya. No, sefer makne, a shtar chov is a shtar kinyan. Why? Because he is makne the shibud karka. Tosos assume the shibud karka happens naturally, and you don't have to be makne it bishtar. It's just natural. But he says, no, you need to be makne. So that's, he denies premise B. What he says is that a shtar chov is a shtar kinyan on the shibud karka. Again, we're not talking about additional shibudim like the Ramban suggests. We're talking about the basic shibud karka. And what's his raya? I know Tosus has a raya against him. His raya, as we all know, and again, this is on the board in Shir 10, so we're just going to chazer quickly. His raya is that we all know, milva bishtar gove minuchasim b'nei chorin, Sorry, milve balpez gova minchasim mnei chorin, and milve bishtar gova minchasim mishubadim. Meaning, if you lend me money in bal, and I have two aidim balpez, I can only collect from you. There's no shib nechasim. If you lend me money, there's a shtar, then I can collect even from your nechasim. Even if you sell them, I can be toreif the lekuchot. Why is that? Why is it that milve bishtar has a shib nechasim and milve balpez doesn't? So the Tosos Rid says, very, very pashut, a milv baped doesn't have a shibud nechasim because I never made a kinyan on the shibud. A shibud is something I have to be makna to you, I understand. When I give you a shibud on my nechasim, I'm not giving you, let's say I own a house and I borrow money, I'm not giving you the house. I'm just giving you rights in the house that you can collect this house even if I sell it. Right? But still, rights in a house is also a kinyan. Right? So that's what the Rid says. The famous question is, why do we say that milve bishtar has a shibud, at least on the karka, and milve balpeh does not have a shibud nechasim? So the Rid gives an obvious answer. Says the Rid, milve bishtar has a shibud nechasim because the shtar is a kinyan on the shibudim. And milvap has no shibud nechasim because there's no kinyan to create shibudim. Okay, why did Tosfos and everyone else not agree with the Tosfos Rid? I don't mean everyone else in the whole world. I mean everyone else in our sugya. If you got a chance to look at Rav Chanan, he claims that the Rosh and Baba Basra agrees with this Tosfos Rid. But why did Tosfos disagree? Because Tosfos says, no, a shtar has nothing to do with the kinyan on the shibudim. The shibudim naturally flow from a loan. He says the shibudim flow from a loan naturally. He says the shibudim naturally flow from the loan. So why is there only shibudim in milva bishtar and not in milva balpeh? So we know because this is the tikkun to Rabbanan. The Gemara says in the end of Baba Basra, okay, there's some fancy stuff in the Reb Chaim and the Rimi Gash quote in the Rabbanan Shavuos about this, but the simple shot is the Gemara says in Baba Basra that chiluk is only mid Rabbanan. Mid Oraisa, either Shibud Doraisa or Shibud Alav Doraisa. Either there's a Shibud on both types of loans or a Shibud on neither type of loans. Why is there only a Shibud halach lemaisa on a milv bashtar and not on a milv balpeh? Someone tell me one three-letter word. Exactly. Because of the protection of the lekuchos. After all, if I buy someone's house and then someone comes and says, I had a shibud on it, give it to me, I'm going to be ripped off and I'm going to have tainas against the chachamim for setting up the system and it might even hamper commerce. So the answer is no. The chacham say to me, it was kol, right? It was notorious. Everyone knew there was a shibud. If everyone knew there was a shibud, then if you bought this house, you were taking your chances. But everyone only knows the shibud if there's a shtar, because a shtar is notorious. If there's a milva without a shtar, that is not notorious. So, says Tosa, shibudim naturally flow from loan, and there is a kol, as opposed to in a milva balpeh. In a milva balpeh, there's no kol. But the difference in a milva shtar and milva balpeh is not that it's a shtar kinyan on the shibudim. It's just that it happens to be a kol, a midrabanan, a tnai in, shibudim is that there be a kol. Why? For reasons of tikkun olam and tikkun ashuk, etc. So that's the fundamental machlokas. Tosos holds a shtar chov is a shtar raya, and the reason why there's a difference between balpeh and bishtar is because of kol, and the Rid holds a shtar chov is a shtar kinyan, and the reason why there's a difference between milv bishtar and milv balpeh is because the shtar constitutes a kinyan on the shibud nechasim. You'll ask the Rid, doesn't the Gemara say the difference is kol? And the Rid will answer, I know the Gemara says the difference is kol. Right? The Rav loved to distinguish. I don't think this is his words that he distinguished this way. Maybe this is Rav Schechter's words. But the Rav loved to distinguish between the reason behind a takana and the way that Takana works halachically, what we could call the Tam Hadin and the Ofi Hadin. And this was the big yesod of the Rav called Kol Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Doraisa Tikkun. I mean, that's a phrase in the Gemara, but the Rav applied this phrase more widely than the Gemara did. And the Rav says every Takana Rabbanan, no matter what the reason is, has to fit somehow into the conceptual structure of halacha. So what would the Rid say? The Rid would say the reason the Chachamim differentiated between Milva Bishtar and Milva Balpeh was because of Kol. But that's the reason. But the way they differentiated between them was not Kol. Kol is not a pre-existing halachic category. It has to fit into the conceptual structure of halacha. That's the Rav's whole goal in life, is to show how everything, no matter what the reason, fits into the pre-existing conceptual structure of halacha. In other words, the Rav's whole goal in life is to show how everything is lumdish. Which, you know, whatever sefer you read by the Rav in any Masechet or part of Shulchan Aruch, you see what happens, right? Meaning, that's what the Rav meant when he said, you know, until my grandfather came along, Yoredeya was just about pots and pans. Meaning, until Reb Chaim, going down to Reb Moshe, going down to the Rav, all the kashrus was just, what tastes like treif and what tastes like kosher, etc. The Rav explains, no, it's all conceptual categories. So likewise here, says the Rid, right in the Rav that I put in brackets here, likes this derech, says the Rid, the reason for the distinction between Milva Shtar and Milva Peh might have been kol. But that's not the way they were metakin. The way they were metakin it was they said, if you want shibudim, you have to make a kinyan to create shibudim, and a shtar is a kinyan on shibudim, and without a shtar, there's no kinyan on shibudim. So that is the machlokes between the Rid and Tosfos. The truth is that Tosfos also knew the svar of the Rid. Meaning, this, you don't have to be fancy schmancy to think of the svar of the Rid. It's a pretty obvious svar of the Rid, that karka is niknes b'shtar, therefore shtar chov creates shibudim, because it's makna, the shibud karka. The Rav also, Tosus also thought of the Svara. Tosus just rejected the Svara because he had a Kasha. Tosus says, if you read Tosus, you see he thought of the Rid Svara. V'im Tomer, I'm reading the last Tosus in Dafcha, V'im Tomer, Ma'in Yishtari Halva Leget, Te'inim El Raya. Shtar Chov is only, Shtar Halva, Shtar Chov is only Shtar Raya. V'afilu B'milva Alpeh, Yigob Mishav, D'ilom Mishav De'in Lekol. He says, how do I know it's only Raya? Because don't say that the Shtar Halva is a Kinyan on the Mishubadim. On the shibud, because even a Milva Baal Peh should have a shibud. It's just a technical problem that there's a condition of kol. And how do we know kol is only a technical point? And really, and the Chacham weren't attacking that it's a matter of kinyan. Could Amrina mechaz? Because Abatan demanded Yosef tzinin Yosef umecher sheish lo kol Amrina and Amoch shrei be'edim gov menchasim mishu abadim. Okay, he seems to have a very strong riot against the Rid. He says, well, how do we know? What does the Gemara say in Baba Basra? That a milva b'shtar has a kol. A milva edom doesn't have a kol. Why not? Because people borrow money quietly. Why do they borrow money quietly? Because, like, they need a loan. They keep it quiet. It's embarrassing to need a loan. And also, you don't want people to know you're in financial straits and you need a loan, because then they'll take advantage of you, right? Your stock will go down, as it were. But when people sell fields, they do it publicly. Because everyone wants to say, oh, look, I got a field. Right, when I borrow money from you, I say, can you privately lend me some money? I'm stuck a little. Please keep it quiet. When I buy your field, I say, can you sell me your field with publicity so everyone will see it's my field? And therefore, what do we see? If I sell you my field in front of Edim, even without a shtar, I sell you my field in front of Edim, and it turns out that it wasn't really my field and I have to refund the purchase price, the shibud for me refunding the purchase price is basically, if I sell you a field for $1 million, even without a shtar, since it has a kol and everyone knows about it, if it turns out I had no right to sell the field and I owe you $1 million back, you have a shiba nechasim on that $1 million. You could be torif lekuchos because it had a kol. So with Tosa say, it says, we prove from here that if there's a kol, there's a shiba nechasim even without a shtar, which proves we don't really care about a shtar, we only care about a kol, and that's against the Tosa Srid. Okay, to defend the Tosos Rid, you'd have to say Bedochak, that since there's a Takana Drabanan, when it came to Mecher, they made their Takana one way. When it came to Halva, they made their Takana a different way, and at least within Halva, the way they made the Takana is that the Shtar Halva is a Shtar Kinyan on the Shibudim. Okay, in any case, here we have this fundamental Chakira, whether a Shtar Halva is a Shtar Kinyan or a Shtar Raya. Tos holds a Shtar Raya, and therefore I had to give a technical answer to this question. The Rid holds a Shtar Kinyan, and therefore gave a fundamental answer by denying Tosos' second premise. And that is an important question, and we said some nafkaminas 39 shirim ago. We won't chazer them all now. I will just ask you to chazer that at your leisure. Now, that is the rid. But there's obviously, I set you up, that there's a third way to answer Tosa's question. Someone tell me what's the third way to answer Tosa's question. I set you up pretty easily here.
Even Shtar Kinyan needs
a mikveh. You just said the wrong word. Say it again. Even a Shtar Raya needs Sefer Mikneh. Who says that only a Shtar Kinyan needs Sefer Mikneh? Maybe even a Shtar Raya needs Sefer Mikneh. And that is the third way to answer this question, which, I mean, I put in brackets here, that's the answer of the Evan Ozel. But I think we can do much better than the Evan Ozel. So I'll start with the Evan Ozel. But we can obviously do much better than the Evan Ozel. Agav, if we're adding Achronim, then... hold on. I forgot to mention the Ktsos. I apologize. I forgot to mention the Ktsos. So let me just add to this. If we have the question of what's the nature of, meaning, where do shibudim come from? Tosos says the loan. And therefore, a shtar chov or shtar halva is merely a shtar raya. It merely proves what exists previously. The rid says from kinyan shtar. You have to be makna to shibudim. And therefore, shtar chov is a shtar kinyan. The ktsos, okay, I put the ktsos in brackets. I'm just going to mention briefly, not the ktsos that we mentioned earlier, but not the ktsos in Sifkatan Chav Zayin. The ktsos in Sifkatan Chav, the ktsos says, he says a bit of a Tzvei Dinim to answer this question. He says, where does Shibudim come from? He says, they come naturally from the loan. He agrees with Tosos, they come naturally from the loan. Come naturally from the loan, but he says, and also Kenyan Shtar. He says they come naturally from the loan, but when you write a Shtar, they also come from the Kenyan Shtar. Basically, when you have a Milva Shtar, there are two reasons you have Shibudim. Number one, because they flow naturally from the loan as long as there's a coal. Number two, because you made a Kenyan Shtar on them. So he says that a Shtar Chov equals a shtar kinyan, because it adds a second reason why you have shibudim. Okay, here it gets a little tricky. Who needs a second reason to have shibudim? If shibudim naturally flow from the loan as long as there's a kol, and he's basically saying Tosfos and Tosfos are both correct. What difference does a milvav shtar make? A, the shtar has a kol, so I naturally have shibudim, because the rabbana naturally allows shibudim to happen as long as there's a kol. B, it's also a shtar kinyan. Okay, what difference does this make? So it's a bit of a funny shita. Why do you need two reasons you get shibud karka? Why isn't one good enough? So he says, because if you want to sell that shibud to someone else, then if you only have shibud and that flew naturally from the loan, there's no concrete object that represents those shibudim. So I can't sell it. If I wrote a shtar chov, and I also have shibudim because I was coded them b'kinyan shtar. Now the shtar chov is a concrete object that represents the shibudim. And now I can sell the shibudim by handing over the shtar to someone else. So there is a nafgamina in the second way that if it was only... Give me a second. If it was only... 1 second. What am I doing? Okay. That, 1 second. I'm looking for something. Here we are. That if it was only that they flew naturally from the loam with a tznai of coal, then they would... Oops, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm remembering how to use the Zoom. Then... they would not
be transferable. But now there's also Kinyan Shtar. The Shibudim are transferable.
Okay, he also used this to come up with a clever answer to Tosa's question. He says the Zakein must have sometimes transferred the Shibudim for the money he lent other people, and therefore he must have had a Kinyan Shtar on them, and therefore he must have had a Shtar Mikna. Okay, but there, so says Svei Dinim. So if we want to know why does a mil b'shtar shiv nechasim, Tosu says they flow naturally. The shtar is just for tnai of kol to avoid problem tikkun olam. The Tosus Rid says they do not flow naturally. You make a kinyan shtar in them with the shtar chov. And the so says they're both right. The shtar chov makes a kol, which could have been made in other ways also, which makes you naturally have kinyan, have shibudim, and it also is a kinyan on the shibudim. The reason it needs to also be a kinyan on the shibudim is to make those shibudim transferable, because now they're shibudim that came through a shtar kinyan, and not just naturally, and you have a way to transfer them. Okay, now, let us get...
He's explained. He's really following more of the Tosfos Arid than he's following Tosfos?
He's following them both. He's saying they're both right. In some ways, he's more the Tosfos Rid, that he says it is a Shtar Kinyan. But in some ways, he's like the Tosfos, yeah. That, yeah, he's in between. He's saying the Shtar Chov is a Shtar Kinyan, but you would have it without the Shtar Kinyan. It just is better to have Shibudim through a Shtar Kinyan than to have Shibudim not through a Shtar Kinyan. Okay, now, let us just go to C. Right, where were we? C, which I quote, start quoting the Evan Azel. Says the Evan Azel, he says, deny premise one. Everyone until now, Bain Tosfos and the Ramban, etc., Bain the Tosfos Rid, etc., has accepted Tosfos' first premise, which is that only a Shtar Kinyan needs Sefer Makna, not a Shtar Raya. A Shtar Kinyan needs Sefer Makna, a Shtar Raya does not need Sefer Makna. But he denies it. He says, no, even a Shtar Raya needs Sefer Makneh, meaning it needs to belong to the person who, it needs to be the property of the person who's giving it. Why would a Shtar Raya need Sefer Makneh? Why would a Shtar Raya need Sefer Makneh? After all, a Shtar Raya is merely Eidos. Two Eidim are testifying. What does that have to do with Sefer Makneh? Sefer Makneh has to be with one guy giving something to someone else. If two Eidim are testifying, why would it need Sefer Makneh? So obviously, what does the Evan Uzzel answer that? Someone who didn't read the Evan Uzzel inside, tell me, based on everything we know about everything in the world, what the answer to that is. Why would a Shtar Raya need Sefer Makneh if it's just Eidim testifying?
It's a true shtar.
Right, it's not just Adam testifying, right? If there's anything we learned all year, it's that a shtar raya is not just Adam testifying to remember the unforgettable words of the Baal HaMor, which it's his unforgettable words, but almost all the Rishonim agree to the basic idea, says the Baal HaMor, mi pi hem velom pi ksavam. You can't have two Adam testify b'ksav. Mi pi hem velom pi ksavam. But yes, mi pi ksavo. That a shtar raya is not testimony of Edim. If it was testimony of Edim, it would be puzzled because it would be Torah Ksav, not to mention all the other things we mentioned. It would be puzzled because they didn't actually see anything. It would be puzzled because we don't actually know their signatures are valid. It would be puzzled if there wouldn't be a chiddush of Edim Achzum al Ashtar Kimishinech or Yedusa Mebezdin Dummy, etc., etc. Rather, it's a special Chefza Shel Shtar. And what's the engine that drives this special Chefza Shel Shtar? As all the Rishonim say, Da'as HaMeschayev, or as the Baal HaMor says, unforgettably, Mipik Savo. If a shtar is not a shtar because the Edom testify, that's secondary. A shtar is a shtar because of Da'as HaMeschayev. A shtar is a shtar because the Meschayev, right, the guy who's owing something or losing something, put special power into this piece of paper by his Da'as HaMeschayev. Then, says the Avin Azel, it's not so crazy to say that just like if I sell you my field, if I am giving up my field and I am putting into this that I'm giving away my field, it needs to be my piece of paper. Likewise, even a shtar raya. A shtar raya is not just a natural proof on what happened until now. I'm creating a special heftza of proof. I'm creating a special obligation against me. It's not a regular testimony. It's a special obligation against me. If I'm creating a special obligation against me through Das HaMeschayev to make a special heftza shel shtar, then I can only do this if it's my piece of paper that I am putting my Das HaMeschayev into. It has to represent me. It has to be Pik Savo, represent my Das HaMeschayev. You could have said it represents my Das HaMeschayev regardless of who it belongs to. But the Ebene Uzzel said it's very reasonable to assume that once in the drush of Sefer Miknah, that applies to Shtar Raya as well, because really even a Shtar Raya creates something new. It's not just testimony as to what already happened. It creates a new Heftza Shel Shtar, which is a new Chiyuv against me, and a new special kind of testimony that is even about things that haven't happened yet, like, keep in mind, right? The Shtar even testifies about things that haven't happened yet. Like, for example, I write the Shtar before I give it to you, and it testifies that I gave it to you. I write the Shtar when I borrow money, and it testifies that I haven't paid back, etc., etc. So, in order to create that Heftza Shel Shtar B'Das HaMeschayev, it has to be my Sefer Mikneh. And all of this is in the Ebene Uzzel, obviously a little bit kitzer. Right, the Ebene Uzzel, he knew Reb Chaim's vart on Shtaros very well, and says the, Ebene Uzzel, even a Shtar Raya needs Sefer Miknah. Why? Because it's not just Eidos, but a new creation al pi das HaMeschayev, so it has to be Sefer Shel HaMeschayev. Okay, Mikneh, Makneh, Meschayev, same basic idea. Has to be the Sefer of the Meschayev in order to be called the Heftza of Das HaMeschayev and to create a Heftza Shel Shtar. This obviously... What?
So
I think, and I will point out something amazing, I think this Ebene Uzzel makes a lot more sense for the Baruch Ta'am than it does for the Ktos. I think it's better in his Lashon, it sounds that way. It's not 100% clear. Fits well with the Baruch Ta'am because it's not a Haknah, it's just a creation of some new Heftza. So it's not, I think this works better with the Baruch Ta'am, and that's why I put Sefer Shel HaMeschayev. It's not that I have to be Makneh the Shtar to you to create a Shtar Raya, but it has to be mine to create a Shtar Raya. I think that works well with the Baruch Ta'am. And remember which Rishon we were a Dayak agreed with the Baruch Ta'am?
Rashi.
So then it would work well with Rashi, okay? What that means, we'll see in a moment. Now, here's my question. Can you prove from any Rishon on our Sugya that the Ebene Uzzel is correct? I don't mean that the Ebene Uzzel is correct according to everyone, that the Ebene Uzzel is correct according to that Rishon. Is there any Rishon in our Sugya who explicitly says the Ebene Uzzel is right? I'll give you a clue. The Rashba quotes that line and explicitly says it must be Lav Davka, because it's obviously not true. But, I mean, before we say it's obviously not true Lav Davka, let's say it is true. Which Rishon am I referring to? What?
It's Rashi.
It's Rashi. What does Rashi say on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph? Thank you, Chaim / Masivta. What does Rashi say on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph? Rashi, Chaf... Exactly, Rashi Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph says, V'ha'ish kotev et shovaro. Peiron haktuba, that's the receipt for paying back the ksuba. Shepara, umaknehu l'isha, when the husband writes a receipt, he has to give the receipt as a matana gemura to the wife, and then she has to sign edim on it and give it back to him as a shtar raya biyado. A receipt is the one thing that's for sure only a shtar raya, not a shtar kinyan. A receipt, of course, not a shtar kinyan. The whole point of a receipt is that no one owes anyone anything. It's just proof that you paid, right? Obviously, the receipt doesn't add anything. It's merely a raya, right? I owed Shai 1,000 shekel. I pay him 1,000 shekel. He gives me a receipt. That receipt doesn't create any new kinyanim. It just is a proof that I paid back. The reason I don't owe anymore is because I paid back. The one thing that's purely a shtar raya is a receipt. As Rashi says, l'raya. A receipt is purely a shtar raya. And yet Rashi says it needs sefer mikneh. It needs to, the husband needs to be makneh as a matana gemur to the wife, and then she needs to give it back to him. So the Rashba says, how could Rashi say you need sefer mikneh by a receipt, by a shovar? After all, it's only shtar raya. So he says this Rashi must be lav davka. And then he starts, says, if this Rashi is Lav Davka, maybe other Rashis are Lav Davka, etc., etc. He takes this to an extreme. But why say Rashi is Lav Davka? You have the right to assume something and then say Rashi's Lav Davka. If Rashi goes against your assumption, then Rashi's Davka and your assumption's Lav Davka. At least according to Rashi. You can hold your assumption, but Rashi doesn't have to. And it's, the Rashba, okay, you can never tell why someone's so sure of their assumption, they're not willing to admit that anyone disagrees. But say to the Rashba has the right to do that. He's a Rishon. But we have the right to say, don't make Rashi Lav Davka. Say Rashi is Davka. Rashi is agreeing with the Evan Ozel. I think it's Pasha. There's a foolish Rashi like the Evan Ozel. And the only response is to say Lav Davka, which is a response of last resort. So Rashi here is mefurish like the Evan Ozel. And then it works out very nicely. Why would Rashi be mefurish like the Evan Ozel? Because he had Tosfos' question. Rashi also knew Tosfos' question. It's not a hard question, Tosfos' question. Rashi also knew Tosfos' question. And Rashi knew there must be an answer to Tosfos' question. But he didn't like the answer of Tosfos. He didn't like the answer of the Tosfos Rid. He liked the answer of denying the first premise and saying even a Shtar Raya needs... Sefer Mikna needs to belong to the Mischayev. And therefore, when it came later on in the Gemara, and there was one case that was clearly a Shtar Raya beyond any shadow of a doubt, which is a Shovar, he explicitly wrote, even though it wasn't necessary to explain Shakla Vitaria, he explicitly threw in nonetheless that the husband needs to give the receipt to the wife as a Matana Gemura so that she can then sign it and make it into a Shtar Raya and give it to him. And sign it, meaning have Edom sign it, of course, and make it a Shtar Raya and give it to him, which Rashi took pains to point out to us that even a Shtar Raya needs Sefer Mikna, and thereby answer Tosfos' question before anyone even asked it. And Rashi clearly holds like the Evan Ozel, as Abe pointed out before. I think this works very well with our Diuk. If we're Medayik, Rashi's like the Evan Ozel. I think that it works well with our Diuk that Rashi's like the Baruch Tam. Right? Rashi says Sefer Mikna was not talking about Haknos. It doesn't mean you have to be Makna the Shtar in order to be Makna something else. Just mean it has to belong to the guy who is doing something and giving something up here. Just like in Hakna, it needs to belong to the guy who's giving up a item. Likewise, in a Shtar Raya, it needs to the guy who's giving up his obligations and creating this obligation of a Chetzer Shel Shtar against himself. So I think, Abe, that the two Diukim and Rashi work very, very well, as you already hinted at, together, and Rashi has a clear Shita on our Sugya. Okay, that's all we have to say for this Sugya. If there's any questions, now's your chance. Okay. If we're done with this Sugya, let's at least get a little bit of a head start on the next. Right? Chaim, you're going to ask me where we're up to the Makoros. We're now starting part three. Says the Gemara. Amar Rava, Kosala...
Rebbe?
Yes?
The whole piece that you gave us with the Rav, do you want to discuss it? Yes? No?
No, because we already discussed this in Shiur 10, so you can look back in your notes there.
But that was the first semester. That was the first semester. I don't even know if Yehuda remembers it.
When I was a youngster, we would ask our Rebbe, is this going to be on the test? And he says, everything's going to be on the test. After Me'av Esrim, there's going to be a test, and everything's on the test. So we better chazer or leave it. Okay, so, Amar Rava, Kasav Laget V'Nasto B'Yad Avdo, the husband writes his right for a get and puts it in the hand of his own Eved. The Kasav L'Shtar Matana Alav, what he does, he puts it in the hands of his own Eved, and then he writes a different shtar. I am giving you this Eved as a Matana, and gives his wife the shtar that he's giving her the Eved as a Matana. Kna'ashu umiskareshes bo. She is now Kone, she's Kone the Eved, and she's Kone the Get, because it's in the hands of the Eved, and therefore she is divorced. Basically, he gave her this Get indirectly. By giving her the Eved, he has now given her the Get, and she's divorced. Va'amai, how is she Kone the Get? She's Kone the Get through Kenyan Chatzar. The Get's in her Chatzar. We know the Gemara Darshins. We saw this drasha once in the beginning of Perek HaZorek. V'nasam b'yado, ein le'el yado, v'nasam b'yada. Ein le'el yada, gaga chatzir v'chafiv v'minayin, tam alomar v'nasam kol makom. He doesn't have to put it in her hand. He could put it into her property as well. So she's Kone because it's in her property. Now the Eved's her property, so she's Kone. But amai chatzir malechesi, we have a rule. This appears a few places in Shas. That v'chatzir maleches lo kona. A moving chatzar is not kona, only a stationary chatzar is kona, like an actual real estate. But since the Eved is a chatzar maleches, therefore there's no kinyan chatzar, so she never received the get. If you say the Eved standing still and he's not walking, but we know Rava said that whatever could walk, and it would be Chatzim Aleches, even when it's standing still, is also Chatzim Aleches. Chatzim Aleches is walking. Means it could walk, and an Eved could walk. Okay, the answer is that up, then he can't walk, and therefore he's a Chatzir Sheinim Aleches, and therefore it's a proper Kenyan Chatzir. And then it is just like the next case, which Rama Rava Kasala Gevanasto Bakatsira Vakasala Shtar Matanolov Knaasu Umiskareshbo, and we're not gonna get into that yet, but now it's a chatzer, it's just like he put it into her stationary chatzer. He put into his stationary chatzer and then gave her the chatzer. Now it's as if he put into her chatzer and she's Kona. Great. Okay, just want to point out one bit of a machlokes. Which seems to be more technical, and we're just gonna quickly mention, which is, Tosos brings up a slight stira between here and Daf Ayin Zayin Amud, Daf Ayin Chesam Aleph, I mean. Daf Ayin Chesam Aleph talks about the same case of the husband putting it into the hands of an Eved. Okay, there was one slight difference. Here we're talking about a fancy case where he puts it into his own Eved's hand and then gives her the Eved. There we're talking about the more Pashit case where he puts it into the hand of her Eved. But that's not a relevant distinction for right now, meaning, let's assume for now, an Eved is an Eved. You know, who cares if it was always her Eved or it's now her Eved, right? What does the Gemara Rava say there? Rava says there, it depends if the Eved's awake or asleep, because he throws in another factor. This factor is called Mishtameres Lidata. A Chatzer, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, needs to be Chatzer Mishtameres, a guarded Chatzer to be Kona. Meaning, if I, well, it's a little complicated, let's say a 200 shekel bill is floating in the wind and lands in your empty lot, you're not Kona because it's not guarded in that chutzer. If the 200 shekel bill is floating in the air and lands in your fenced-in yard, you are Kona because it's guarded. But the Gemara there that points out in the Fein Ches, it needs to be Shemeres Ledata, needs to be guarded by the person, not by someone else. So he says, if it's in the hands of a Eved who's awake, it's guarded by the Eved's Das. I know, an Eved doesn't count as a separate, you know, financial owner, etc., etc. An Eved is considered chattel, but nonetheless, the Eved has as much das as anyone else, right? The Eved can think as well as any other human being. So, if the Eved's awake, then it's guarded by the Eved's das. So the wife's not Kona. If the Eved's asleep, then it's guarded by the wife's das, and it's okay. Then the Gemara asks, but who cares? The Eved could still walk, right? Even if the Eved's asleep, he could wake up and walk at any moment. And the answer of Hilchos HaBekafos, right? Hilchos HaBekafos. So what's the relationship between this idea of being asleep, which Rava says he needs to be asleep, but yet the Gemara in the end says he needs to be tied. Does he need to be asleep or does he need to be tied up? What is the requirements of Kinyan Chatzer al Yedei Eved, right? So what about Kinyan Chatzer al Yedei Eved? So, is it that he needs to be asleep, or is it that he needs to be tied? So, Tosos and most Rishonim say, Tosos and Adayik it with what seems to be a Duke Mochrach from Rashi later on there in the 8th Perek, and Tosos also quotes from the Bahag, and almost all the Rishonim agree. So, Tosos and most Rishonim say that you have two conditions. He needs to be asleep and tied. Why? Yashain, because otherwise, or Yashain, in order to become Mishtameres Lidata Velo Lidasa Eved, the Eved needs to be asleep so that it'll be Mishtameres by the woman's mind, and he needs to be Kafus in order to be Eina Mehaleches, right? Because Mehaleches is not Kona. That's the opinion of Tosafot most Rishonim. And that's what it says. Rava says he needs to be asleep, and the Gemara says Hilchasa, he also needs to be tied. Why in our Gemara do they only bring up the tying part, not the sleeping part? Okay, they only quote one of the issues. There are two different issues with two different solutions. Our Gemara happens to mention one of the two issues, and that Gemara happens to mention both of the issues. Could be. The Tosos brings up the Havamina, but I haven't found any Rishonim who actually hold this. Although the Lechem Mishnah thinks the Rambam holds this according to the Gemara in the 8th Perek, just that we don't pass like the Gemara in the 8th Perek. But he says there is a sort of Havamina in Tosfos and the Rishonim that you need Yashen or Kafos. And that's what the Gemara means. Helchsa b'Kafos, Kafos is good enough. And if Kafos is good enough, so is Yashen. And Yashen and Kafos are the same thing. The Eved can't do anything. If he's asleep, he can't do anything. And if he is tied, he can't do anything. So Yashen solves both problems. And Kafos also solves both problems. Kafos doesn't walk. Yashen also doesn't walk. Meaning, this opinion would say, a Yashen is considered not able to walk. Because as long as he's asleep, he's not able to walk. As Tosfos thinks, a Yashen is able to walk. And Kafos is also, you can't say Kafos is Mishameris L'dasa Eved, because even though the Eved has Das and he's awake, if he's tied up, he can't do anything with his Das, and therefore he can't guard anything with his Das. Okay, the Rambam has a third opinion, and they're all different deos about exactly how the Rambam fits his third opinion into the various Gemaras, but says the Rambam says, Davka Kafos. You Davka need Kafos. That's how he reads Hilchos of a Kafos. The halacha is, Yashin is not going to make a difference. Only Kafos is important. There are three ways of reading Hilchos of a Kafos. Either in Dafayin Ches, number one, besides Yashin, Hilchasa, you also need Kafos. Number two, Hilchasa, Kafos is good enough. And if Kafos is good enough, Yashin is good enough. Or number three, Hilchasa only depends on Kafos. Rava's wrong about that Yashin thing. Dafka, Kafos. And what does the Rambam think? He thinks Kafos solves both problems. Because Kafos can't be Shomer with his Das and also can't walk. And Yashen, what's wrong with Yashen? So here the Rambam is a little tricky. The Rambam says, Kafos solves both problems. Yashen also solves both problems, Midoraisa. It's just Midrabanan, they stand, don't rely on Yashen. So the Rambam, basically three, Midoraisa agrees to two. He says that Dafka Kafos, but Yashen, where can I find space for this? Midoraisa. Yashen also solves both problems. But Midrabanan, they disallowed Yashen, Gzeira Atu Neor, and we understand why Midrabanan, they were not Gozer on Kafos, Gzeira Atu, Gzeira Atu Mutter, they weren't Gozer on a tied Eved, Gzeira Atu an untied Eved. So a tied Eved and an untied Eved, first of all, it's very weird to have a tied Eved, and it's very obviously different. But a sleeping Eved, Atu, a waking Eved, is an important Gzeira, because sleeping people wake up all the time, and it's very easy to get confused. How do you know if someone's asleep or awake, right? Your kids always pretend to be asleep when it's their bedtime, etc., and they're really awake. Therefore, the Rambam says, Mida Oraisa, Yashin or Kafos, both solve both problems. But Midrabanan, Hilchsa b'Kafos, and then Hilchsa is very Nidoyek. Hilchsa meaning not theoretically, but La'halacha, in terms of the Gzeira d'Rabanan, Rav is right theoretically, but Hilchsa, in terms of the Gzeira d'Rabanan, La'halacha b'Kafos, only Kafos is okay, because Kafos is not going to be confused with untied, but Yashin is going to be confused with awake. Okay, those are the three basic shitas. Again, only two of which I actually have Rishonim say. The three basic shitas are either you need Yashin and Kafos, each problem has a different solution, or you need Yashin or Kafos, each thing solves both problems, or Midoraisa, you need either Yashin or Kafos, but Midrabanan, you need Dafka Kafos, because Kafos is not going to be confused, but asleep and awake can always be confused. Okay, there may or may not be some subtle lumdus behind this, but we're not going to get into this. What I'm into next time is the very last line in the Makoros sheet. I was thinking of putting on the Makoros sheet. I ended with, what's the Yisod of the Machlos, the Ram and the Rashba? giving you the answer to it, meaning there's a long Rav Chaim here who discusses exactly that, but I wanted to give you some time to think about it on your own before I spoiled it. But we'll be able to see the Rav Chaim's answer or answers to, we'll start next time, we'll mention the Machlokes in the Rambam and the Rashba, and we'll see what might underlie that Machlokes, and we'll go till the end of the Amud, Chafal Faman Aleph, and go through the Shaklav Tarya of the Gemara. Emeritz Hashem on Thursday. I will see you then. Okay, everyone is free to...
When? Rabbi.
Thursday, regular time. We're keeping up our regular schedule of 11:30 a.m. on Mondays and 9 o'clock a.m. on Thursdays. I might be a few minutes late on Thursday morning, but... you know, let's say by 9:05 on Thursday, we should be able to start. I mean, we always start a few minutes late on Thursday morning. But there is a backyard minion that needs me to lane. So I might have to lane at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning and come here at 9:05. But
is there any possibility of making it later? Because we also have a 9 o'clock minion. And sometimes it becomes very... tricky to get over to you to get to both at the same time.
And does anyone else have a problem with 9 o'clock on Thursdays?
No.
No problem, Thursday night.
No problem.
Okay, I think what we're going to do is just to keep our kvias again, to hope that things will get a little more normal at the same time, or at least that people start davening shachris and making earlier minyanim. I think we're going to keep our regular kvias with apologies. So I will see everyone first thing Thursday morning. Obviously, if anyone has questions, feel free to ask. If anyone wants to go to lunch, feel free to go to lunch.
Observation?
Sure.
Another indication that Rashi holds like the Baruch Tam is that in that Rashi about the Amchav Alef Maral Kotevet Es Gita, he says, right, she runs her journey more highly the Baal, right, she is then Ella, right, it's not necessarily that he has to be makne back to her, but that he just gives it to her. You could have used the word makne again.
You mean her to him? Yes, that's a nice diak actually. He's makne to her, but she's moser to him. So that's a good diak for the Baruch Tam. That's a very good diak. I like it. I agree. That's what you meant, right?
Okay. The Rashi was pointing to is that she is makne to him, and then he just gives her.
Which Rashi?
Oh,
you were doing from the one before that? Yeah, you're right. It's a double diuk. You're right. I agree. I like your diuk. Okay. I like your diuk. Shkayach.
Okay.